Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi.
Hey, welcome to the Real Housewives of Rewatch. I'm Sue Funk, and I'm here with
Danielle from Brands by Bravo.
And we are starting season 5 of
season five.
Like, after season 4, what a gift. Like, it was like right off the bat. And this season, the premiere episode is called A New New York, which I feel like is so fitting as we have our revamped New York that we're working with right now.
Yeah, I mean, they got rid of basically half the cast.
Yep.
And I'm here for it.
Yeah, it was like their opening is so good. It's like I wrote all of them down.
You did. I did too.
Okay, good. So I'll go first with Carol, and then you can go to Aviva. We'll take turns.
Yeah, I don't know if I went in the correct order, but I did write them down.
Carol says, I may be a princess, but I'm definitely not a drama queen.
Genius, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, that's great. They're all really good. Mm-hmm.
Heather Holla, which cracks me up that literally in her first season, they did the Holla thing. But yeah. My success is built on making My success is built on making women look and feel their best. Holla, which iconic, the Holla.
Oh, yeah. She's the first one to add some sort of exclamatory. Like,
we got this. You and I can speak. It's fine.
Yeah, we're smart. Aviva is not the best because it's never underestimate a woman born and raised in New York City.
It's giving Kyle Richards in this city, in my city.
But like also, Aviva doesn't talk about being from New York that much. I totally, when I heard that, I was like, you're from New York?
Yeah, like, I didn't know she was like a born and raised New Yorker.
Yeah.
Ramona is, I'm not afraid to say what everyone else is thinking.
Very, very Ramona.
Yeah.
Luann's is, to some, living elegantly just comes naturally.
Which, to me, that doesn't make sense for her anymore because she's not married to the Count, you know? Like, that persona should have left her, though it did not.
No, she's still clinging on to that elegance.
Yeah, and then Sonia's is, a little Sonia will spice up any party.
And it's true.
Sonia's were always interesting.
Yeah.
Taglines. They were never always the best.
There was one that like was just like about her panties or like not having panties. And it was just like, what?
Why? Yeah. Weird. No, Carol's is definitely my favorite. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And Carol comes in hot. Like Carol, it's honestly like this first episode was an extended episode, right?
It was
like an hour and 5 minutes. Cause I was like, wow, this is still giving.
Yeah, I felt like I was watching it forever. So, yeah, not in a bad way.
Right? Just... No, but I felt the same way. I was like, wow, this is like really going on a long time.
Yeah.
I was enjoying it so much more than season 4.
Yes. Well, Carol, I don't know now, but she was one of my favorite housewives ever.
Well, I feel like when Carol
started... Or I should say favorite New York I don't know if she's a favorite ever. Maybe we'll find out as I rewatch, because I don't really remember. I remember more the Dorinda years with Carol, not these early. Yeah.
Same. I didn't think I thought she came with Dorinda. I forgot that her and Heather came as like a duo.
Yeah.
But like, she's the voice of reason in a great way. Mm-hmm. And not like too giant of personality, but you definitely feel great about her. Well, let's just keep going.
Yeah. So the episode opens with Luann and Aviva saying that they've known each other for years. I forget how they said they met. I think at a party.
Yeah.
It was just a nice little lunch. They were at the boathouse, right?
Yes, the Central Park Boathouse, which is lovely.
Yeah, and then to me, one of my favorite things that we learned in this lunch is that Luann says that Alex is living between Switzerland and Asia, but when he comes to America, he stays at their Hampton house.
I thought that was really interesting that she lets her, and she's like, I'm a good ex-wife. And I was like, are you? Like, he has so many other houses that you lost in that divorce that I don't think you get to stay at.
Yeah, also I'm like, does this guy just not give a crap about his kids at all? Like, they are still, I know Victoria's maybe like 17, 18 here, but like, what about his son? He's pretty young and he just doesn't live in America.
I thought they did go back and forth to see him though.
I thought but that like, that's was not right.
I don't know. My favorite part about it is that when Lou is talking to the camera in her confessional, she's like, Aviva is great and you would never know she has a handicap. And like, it's just so funny because it's like the first thing she tells us about Aviva, and we also don't know about the handicap until like probably the last like 35 minutes, like 35 minutes in. So I just can only imagine that if you didn't know anything about Aviva, you're just sitting there being like, what's her handicap?
Yeah, like, the way all the women deal with Aviva's handicap in the first episode is so interesting.
Yes, everyone has a very different reaction.
Yeah. So we obviously find out at this that Aviva's ex is the very infamous
Harry Dubin,
which is basically his own. I'm shocked he didn't appear on this season of Real Housewives of New York with the new cast somehow.
I think he does show up at some point.
No,
everybody's just wild about Harry.
But that's when they start talking about how Sonia dated Harry and Luann dated Harry and Aviva married Harry but divorced Harry, and
her first son is Harrison, and we see him later in the episode and he looks like Harry.
Yeah, he does.
Like, it was wild. I was like, wow. I guess, like, wow.
Yeah, and we learn that Aviva ran into Sonia somewhere and that Sonia basically just like ran away from her.
Which I get.
I could see Sonia doing
that. I could
that.
See that. Like, so, but that means that, like, Aviva is, like, I don't know if that means that she was, like, with Harry when we were married or not. Because Harry stepped out on Aviva, from what we basically know.
Yes. And it is weird later, like, Sonia's talking about Harry, like, oh, he's one of my oldest best friends. And it's like, but you never met Aviva, which I think is very odd.
Yeah. It's telling.
Yeah. It's, I'm like, is Sonia making shit up or?
I don't know, but we do see Sonia at the townhouse next. And we get a first name, last name of the intern. I did not write them down, but I just thought it was really interesting that I was like, oh, wow, first name, last name. I wonder if this person is related to somebody.
Yeah, and no, I did not see that. I didn't write that down.
And she's just basically saying she doesn't stir the pot. She stirs the drink, darling. She's going mm-hmm. to have a fresh party.
She said, you know what's worse at a party than stale brioche? Stale guest.
Oh, that's right. And so she's, so like, this is like, I like this a lot because they're bringing in the cast right away. Like everyone's mm-hmm. going to her place and they're going to go meet up and see each other and get to know one another. Which I wonder,
you know what I forgot to look up? Do you know what year season 5 aired?
No, I forgot to look at that. I'm sorry.
I'm going to look that up because I wonder if it's around the time that the 2012. And is it really? 2012 when like Beverly Hills and New Jersey started?
I guess so. You're Googling it. I would not know.
I am Googling
off the...
it very quick.
No.
No, 2009. But yeah. By then, I just feel like the formula we're used to around 2011, 2012, you know, a few seasons
that's
into
when it
all
gelled.
Of these, that's when it's like, we need to have them as a cast all together. And You
There
know.
was less of like a let's hang out with these housewives and their family, and more like let's get these women together and
Yes.
see what happens.
Yes. Sonia's party looked great, by the way. Like, I was very into the food and I wanted to go to it. And the drinks.
No, it was, you know, after having two like masquerade parties last year, this was like more of an upscale Sonia Morgan party. I felt like there was like really nice waiters passing around like what looked like lovely cocktails, lots of champagne. The house looked really good.
Yeah, agree. So Luann brings Aviva to this party and then Semi introduces her to Sonia, even though they're like, oh, we kind of know each other. And I crack up because Sonia immediately brings up her ex-husband. And I'm just like, oh, that's so awkward.
Yeah. And she's just like, and like Aviva was so scared that Harry was going to be there. And she's like, don't worry, he's not. And she's like, thank God. And like, you could tell that she's just like, okay, I can kind of relax now.
Yeah. She says something like, we get along well, but there's definitely some crinkles in the relationship.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that makes sense. I'm sure he rubs her the wrong way. He doesn't seem like someone who's great with word choice.
No, to me, it seems like that means we're very good at co-parenting, but I don't want to see you socially or have those types of interactions with you. But like co-parenting, we can do that well.
But then we see Aviva meet Carol.
Can I say, she looks so stunning and I'm obsessed with her hair color and the way she's styling it in this entire episode, Carol.
Oh, yeah. Carol looks great. She looks really, really good this season. And she's Aviva has read Carol's book and like corners Carol about it. And it is so awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel for Carol because she tells us in her confessional that she's like, you know, you write this book about your dead husband and grieving with it and how that all went down. And you want to help people, but then like 10 years later, I'm at a dinner party and I'm stuck here talking about something that I like kind of have put behind me now and it all has to come back up.
Yeah,
and that's I feel for
so
her.
Awkward. Have you read Carol's books? Any of them?
No, you mean her ghostwritten books? Sorry.
I forgot about that.
Too soon.
I don't think the first one was though. Definitely not the first one. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, she has enough credentials for me to believe that.
Yes, she does.
She wrote it, you know. I've never read it, but I've always heard like amazing things from it. And I kind of now it kind of made me want to read it. Though I feel like it would just make me really sad.
Yeah, it sounds like a real bummer.
Yeah, but I've heard it's amazing. So maybe I'll give it a shot.
Well, if you do, tell me about it.
Yeah, in my spare time of reading.
Yeah, exactly. When you have all that free time, you know, raising a child and a dog.
I know. Well, now that I'm back at work, I'm on nighttime duty. So my free time has definitely lessened at night.
Yeah.
But then we should go to daycare. Then we'll flip flop like nights.
Oh my gosh.
I can't think about daycare. We're not.
No, I was like, I can't.
Nope. We are not going to think about that. No. Though today was better. I went to the office again. This is my third time and I didn't cry today. So it went better.
Accomplishment. I mean, it's. I told Danielle that I was like, when I dropped Turner off at daycare for the first time, I cried. And I know I'm not going to be one of those people that I'm like, it's the same thing. I obviously know it's not.
I have a dog and I would agree it's very similar. I cried before we went to like on our long trip with Remy. To me, it's actually gets worse with a dog because they'll never understand. At least she'll eventually grow up and understand like,
that's true.
I'm coming to pick you up later. Like dogs don't know.
I was exactly like, that was the thing. I was just like, oh, she's going to be like crated. It's going to feel like she's back in a shelter. Like it was heartbreaking for me. So like leaving your child, I feel like would be even like more like, cause you're just like, what's going to happen?
Yeah. I make Derek put the monitor on her during the day when I'm in the office. And then I talk through the monitor and I freak him out because I'll just start like being like, hi, like what the hell? You can't just like just creep on me in the room and watch me.
That's awesome.
I know. It's fine. All fine.
Especially because it's spooky season. Just be like, Derek.
I know I should do that to him tomorrow, but he would kill me because he was like in the bathroom and I just started like talking through the monitor.
That's amazing.
It's fine. I'm doing well. Okay. So back to the party. So Heather and Carol are there. They clearly somehow know each other, though I don't know they really say how those two
I think those two are old friends. And Heather also supposedly knows Sonia because they met at a party a couple of years ago. But it feels very much like, here's the thing. If you're in New York long enough, you cross paths with people.
Yeah.
Like, it's an island, guys. Like, you meet people. And if you're in the same social circle in the Upper East Side or whatever area you're in, you usually do kind of sort of meet people. So I think that's what this friendship is. It's just like, oh, we talked for a little bit at a cocktail party.
Yeah. Heather definitely doesn't know Lou or Viva. This is the first time meeting her. We also find out that Luann and Ramona are still fighting. And I'm curious. I wish I knew, like, when the reunion ended to when they started filming again, you know?
Yeah. Because, like, Lou is very upset about it. And I do get it, because in the reunion, if you remember, she basically makes it seem like Victoria was kicked out of school for being a horrible child.
You know, Luann has every right to be mad at Ramona.
Like, especially because Ramona is not accounting for the fact that, like, Victoria was a child of divorce. And like we said, her father's not really around that much. Her mom may or may not be around, but no matter what, Lou is trying her best. And she is trying to be there for those kids. Like, she can no longer afford the live-in housekeeper that was with them that we knew in season one. So, you know, she's trying, she's doing her best, but Ramona, of course, has an opinion on everything.
Yeah. We do find out that Ramona and Heather have met. They met at HSN.
I know. I was like, I guess True Renewal was on HSN at some point.
Yeah, the jewelry was.
Isn't that, oh, True Religion, sorry.
I don't know. True whatever. But yeah, her jewelry was. Also, Heather does have on like an amazing outfit. She looks so good. I love this like red outfit she has on, and she has great hair.
And like underneath, so it's like this red coat that like has like this strappy black belt, and then underneath is her yummy tummy shapewear. Like, it's like a slip, and it's like very sexy. But hot take, I hate shapewear. I don't know if we already said this when we talked about Jill's shapewear line last season.
No, but, like, I don't like it either.
I think it's demeaning, and it's also uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think it's like I remember when I was wedding dress shopping, and I was like, I'm absolutely not wearing shapewear. I was like, I want to be comfortable in what I'm wearing. But I get it. Some people really like it. It does
a purpose. I'm not saying like it's stupid. Like, I get it. But I shall, like, personally, no ma'am.
Anytime I've worn it, I've not been happy that I've been wearing it.
Yeah. So. I've always felt horrifically uncomfortable, especially if you have IBS. I feel like it's just not a great thing for you, because, like, you bloat, and then it's like, oh, great, now I'm even more restricted.
I think I actually bought Yummy Tummy once from Nordstrom Rack in Union Square, 14th Street. Shout out.
Yeah,
pretty sure they had Yummy Tummy there. And I think I bought it. I used to love Heather, and I'm very interested to see how I feel about her rewatching, because I always really liked her, and I know a lot of people hate her, and I wonder if I'm going to feel the same.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Like, she's already got some of her qualities. I think it's just going to be a journey the way it was with Bethany. Like, I love, I hate, I love again. Even Ramona's right sometimes. Like, these housewives, the more dynamic they are, the more they make you feel, the better.
True, true. Also, one thing I didn't realize is that Carol's husband passed away in 1999.
Yes.
I did not realize it had been that long.
Yeah.
Because by then it's 13 years this was 2012. So that was just like an interesting, I don't know why I thought it was like much sooner. Or like, because like,
no, I had an idea of that. Because
Dorinda's husband was a more recent passing.
Yes.
So I think I just always equated the two of them to that.
Well, when did JFK Jr. die? Because I think that was the other thing, is I remember it was like right around that. Like, she had had like, it was like kind of like back to back tragedies.
I don't know. You're asking the wrong millennial on him.
Hold on. JFK Jr. Now I need to know this. Like,
listen, if you want facts on this podcast, we will not be the podcast where you're screaming at us, it was this year, and we keep saying the wrong information. We
might
Google things. I mean, we try really hard. If it's a quick
no,
Google
it was
it.
1999 that when he passed as oh well. My gosh, so like that was the like, thing. Because I remember, I forget, somebody brings it up at some point, and she was just like, You have no idea how hard this was, that like I lost my two best friends and my husband the same year. Like, that was, and that was one of the reasons why it was a bestseller, because of her affiliation with Camelot, which we all love.
Yeah.
Any hoodle, Ramona and Lou run into each other at this party, and Mario is such a jerk, man. I just feel like Mario tries every chance he gets to dig at Luann, and I just feel like it's not fair.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Was Mario, he was at Sonia's, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking that you were talking about the Mario later in the episode at Ramona's house. What was I going to say? Oh, my favorite thing that Carol said at the party was that she hates when moms, all they do is talk about their kids.
I was wondering how you feel about
that. Oh, I thought that I am trying to not be that person really hard, because honestly, a lot of my friends don't have kids yet. And like, in my head, no one cares about my kid as much as I do. Like, and maybe my parents, my and Derek's parents, like I know they don't care. So unless you ask me questions, I'm not just like constantly going to talk about it.
Well, I also, it's one of those things where it's like, if you're with your coworkers, you're going to talk about work. When you're like with the other moms at school, you're going to talk about kids.
Yeah.
It's just like you talk about things that you have in common with whoever you're around.
Yeah.
And so, but I also very much understand the Carol standpoint of like, it's really hard when you're a single person that doesn't have kids, won't have kids, and you're sitting there. And like at this point, Carol doesn't even have a pet. And she's just kind of like, I'm going to go get a drink. Bye. Like,
yeah. Like my sister, I know she was at some party a while ago, and like everyone there is a parent except for, you know, her and her husband. And she was like, I just did not care about the conversation. And I was like, I will try really hard to not be that person. Like, I don't. Also, I don't want to talk about her. We talk about her all the time. Like,
yeah,
I want to talk about different things.
I remember like going out to Long Island with one of my friend's babies, and we just sat there and stared at a baby for like hours. And I was just kind of like, is there anything else to do? Like, just because there's only so many times that you could be like, this baby's adorable.
Yes.
And like, I get that, like, and I was also, this was when I was like in my 20s, you know, like I wanted to just go drink and have fun. And like, I was very single compared to my friends. And I was just kind of like, so this is what people do now? Like, I don't want to.
That's too funny. So then I think the last thing kind of at the party is just that Luann, does she go up to Ramona to try to talk to her? Okay. And
or Ramona's no, wait. So Lou said her dad. Oh, wait. We forgot about how Heather talks about how her dad just died.
No, that was at the bar.
No, she does it at the party too.
Oh, does she? Oh my gosh.
She's talking to Heather. It's Lou and Heather, and they're just talking about their lives. And somehow dad's come up, and like Lou is just like, yeah, my father's no longer with us. And Heather's like, yeah, my dad just died on Friday. And she says it pretty much just like that. And Lou is just like mortified. And I think, you know, we were talking about recentness with like the husband dying and all this, like losing your father the week that you start a reality show. Like, I understand that he was dying for a very long time, and I know what that's like. And it's just, even though you've kind of prepared yourself for it, it's still so emotional. Mm-hmm. And like for her to do that, like I have to say, it instantly made me impressed by Heather and angry at everybody for being like mortified when she brings it up.
I think in the way that when Alex talked about her dad passing, it's just like when you're not prepared to hear that information.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh my God, we're like at this party, we're having a good time. And you just told me this really heavy thing, and I don't know you that well. So yeah. I can see why, like, I'm super awkward and I don't know what I would do if someone I just met. Like, think of the first time you and I are at Sonia's and then you're like, my dad died. I'd be like, I'm sorry. Like, I would have, you would have no idea, like, socially.
See, I feel like as an orphan, I would totally be like, let's talk about it. But also, like, I know that feeling of just like, it's all that's on your mind.
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
It's hard not to talk about it. And also, like, especially because her father had been sick for so long, I felt like It was just, it was part of her life. But as we see, Heather is like the queen of tragedy. I wrote that this episode should have been called, I'm so glad you trusted me with your tragedy.
I agree, because then, yeah, we'll get into that.
We're getting ahead of, but yeah, so Ramona is making, Ramona and Mario are basically making fun of Lou. And Lou confronts Ramona, which I thought was really interesting. Because Lou's always like, not at a party, darling. And like Ramona comes in hot. She's like, you want to start with me? I'll go right back at you. And Sonia comes in and makes the peace and gets everybody to go to the bar and kind of blows over. But you know that they don't like each other.
Yeah, which they deserve to, like, Ramona deserves to get the hate. Also, it is interesting they kept Ramona. I was thinking about in my head of, like, the new cast they brought in. And I'm actually surprised she made the cut. But I think because I guess her fight with Luann kind of saved her, because there was still story with that. But when I was thinking about, like, the ages of everyone, I was like, Ramona's kind of the outlier, I felt like, in that group.
But also, don't forget, there was rumors swirling about Mario at the end of the season.
True.
And between seasons.
True.
So, like, they kind of wanted to keep that story, keep an eye on it. I don't know, I wouldn't say that they wanted the story to keep going, but, like, I would see as a production person being like, we got to see where this goes.
Yeah, I agree.
So then,
I think that's it for the party.
Yeah, we see Carol, and this is where we get her resume of, you know, she was worked at ABC News, and she did the Widow's Guide. She's working on the Widow's Guide to Sex and Dating, and she does interviews of celebrities for Glossy Mags, and she's about to interview the Kardashians.
You know what I enjoyed about the scene? That Carol was like, I love the Kardashians. And I feel like Carol would be someone who would hate them, especially in 2012. So I appreciated that she didn't say something bad about them.
I think it was because it was a job. I feel like if you sat down for coffee with Carol during that time, she would have been like, ugh, downfall of society.
Probably.
Like, for a job, I'll act like I love anything. I'll be like, oh my God, this sounds so exciting. Kardashians, my favorite. then I don't think I've ever seen a full episode of that show. Then Heather is, we go to her office and she's talking about her fashion and like her work. And her resume, I forgot how impressive it was. So she started with Calvin Klein. Then she worked for Diddy. We all remember Diddy because she like drops, like, she's just like, oh, me and Diddy this. And you're like, okay. But then she went on to
work. She was like the creative director, though, I think, for like his company. So it wasn't just like, oh, I worked for him. It was like, I worked with him, not for him.
She was also the creative director with J-Lo and Beyonce.
I know that photo of Destiny's Child touching her pregnant belly was like, damn good. She was like, okay, you know what my question that I wrote down? Does she know Jenna Lyons? They must know each other.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right? And like, give me a Heather Holla cameo.
Yo. Although her last cameo did not end well for her.
True. Which was so sad. I remember being very sad about that.
That was not a great look.
I don't think she owns Yummy Tummy anymore. I think she guys sold it.
Well, Ramona visits Heather at work. And we find out that Yummy Tummy's office at the time was at 36th and 5th Avenue, 36th Street and 5th Avenue. So that's like kind of near Macy's, that giant Victoria's Secret, like Herald Square kind of area.
Yeah.
And Heather invited Ramona to see the showroom, but instead we just have a really awkward exchange of two people who don't seem to know how to interact with people.
Yeah. Also, you know what made me laugh about this is I was thinking about it, and like, because they do this all the time in Housewives, but especially for Heather, who like runs or was running a legit company. When have you ever had like a friend stop by your office?
Never.
Never.
Like, never. Like, there's no take your friend to work day.
No. I've never even been to when Derek worked in his office. I went to his office one time, and it was actually the day we got our marriage license because the courthouse was walkable to his office, and I said, can I come up and see it? And that was the only time I ever saw it. And he was there for like 6 years.
No, like you would always just meet people outside their office.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Like, I feel like I would always just be like, oh, I'll meet you outside, or I'll meet you on the corner, like, by the subway. But, like, I would never go into other people's offices. Also, like, you usually need an ID and you need to sign in. It's a whole production.
Yep.
Actually, you know what? I did have people visit me when I worked at A&E, because at the beginning of A&E, we used to have, every Thursday we had bar, and it's exactly what it sounds like. Just give us free drinks. And for a while, they didn't care if you brought friends. So, like, we would invite our friends over and we would all just drink in the office, and it was great.
Oh, one thing I noticed about Heather's company also that I liked at the time, it seemed like all women work there, and I very much like that.
I did appreciate that. Ramona's all over this, and she's like, oh my God, I'm teaching a learning annex class. And she pulls out one of those learning annex magazines, and Heather nails it. Because first of all, Ramona's teaching a class on having it all. What?
I hate that. What? You know how we feel about that statement.
And so Heather's just like, I wouldn't brag about being teaching a class where you get the free magazine next to the trash cans. And that's literally what it is. It's just like, sometimes you don't even believe that there's magazines in there. It's just, I cannot believe she's doing a learning annex and she brought the magazine for it.
I can. That's so Ramona.
But then what's so Heather is, like, all of a sudden Heather talks about how her son had a liver transplant when he was born, which sounds so traumatic. And Ramona's response is, that's horrible. You can't live without a liver. Which I thought was just really funny response. I mean, again, this is what you were saying too. Like, when somebody tells you something that deeply personal, you're just kind of like, I don't know how to respond to this.
But then the two of them just try to outstory each other of, like, traumatic childbirth.
Very modern New York.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this happened to you? Well, Ramona's like, well, this is what happened to me.
And, like, Ramona starts telling this pregnancy story that is so much heightening, and some of it I don't even think could be true. Like, it was just, she was like,
yeah, you know what got me? She said pushing for 2 hours, and I was like, that's not actually that long, as insane as that is. But
she was like, yeah, my doctor had me push too long, and then the baby turned, and then she, I thought she was dead. And it was just like, whoa, that was intense. And then Heather's just like, thank you so much for sharing. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a lot. But they both do it to each other, so it's very awkward.
I just love that she was like, I love that. So then that was basically the end of the scene. But it's funny because it's interspliced with confessionals where they're both just like, this is so fucking awkward. This is going horribly.
Yeah, like, we were not vibing whatsoever.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So then we go to the salon with Sonia and Aviva. You know, Sonia's just trying to be friends with everybody. And Aviva shows up like she's going to a fashion show. And Sonia's very much like Upper East Side cash, which is like Talbot's mom kind of look. And so Sonia says to us that Aviva shows up with the kind of bag that Eric Clapton has when he plays tennis. And, you know, like, it was just like such a weird, like,
so random.
It was just also one of those things that people are like, you know, when you're playing tennis with Eric Clapton. It's that kind of bag.
So strange.
So we find out that inside the bag is Aviva's spare leg. She brought a flat leg and a pointed leg for the nail technician to paint all of them the same color as her attached leg, real leg. I don't know what to say.
Her real leg.
So that's how Sonia finds out about it. And this is how we find out about the tragic story of how Aviva almost lost her leg. And it's something that's like, I remember her, like when she was telling it, I could almost tell you it word for word. Cause same. I could never forget that story of just riding that conveyor belt and getting stuck and her friend hitting the off switch and saving her life.
And they were only 6 years old too. I mean, the whole thing is so sad.
It's just, it's terrifying. It's very Little House on the Prairie though also.
Yes. Yeah. But the whole thing is, it's crazy. And I don't remember what Sonia's reaction was to it.
Sonia was just kind of like politely aghast. I think she was just like, wow. Okay.
I think that's probably how I would react.
Yeah. And she talks about how she has had trouble dating with it. Like, she was dating a guy, and like on the fourth date, she finally told him about it and he drove her home. And then the first date with Reed, she told him about it, and Reed's her current husband, and he like loved it. And Sonia's like, wow, I guess he's a little kinky. And she's like, yeah.
This is definitely Reed, and I don't remember Heather's husband's name, but I just remember really liking both of them and finding them to be very like normal people.
Yes.
They were like very uninvolved husbands.
Yes.
But like, sure. I liked them. Like when they started talking to them, I was like, oh yeah, I remember. I really liked their husbands.
Husbands should be.
And they're both still married to their people. They did not get divorced.
Yeah. That was the thing that I looked that up too. I was like, are they still together? And those are solid foundation marriages, which was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear that Sonia went to her psychic Roberta and told Harry that he was going to meet Aviva. So that's the other thing when you're talking about like, oh, she's known Harry forever but never met Aviva. I think that was really telling, because I was just like, oh, she probably became friends with Harry after her and Aviva, like after they got married, or like when they were getting divorced. Yeah. But this is like, oh no, she knew Harry before they got married.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And then Sonia Psychic says she's going to meet a 45-year-old man who's a serious person. And I was like, I don't remember that happening. Roberta, yeah. What's going on?
Not correct this time. So then we head over to the Hamptons, and Heather, Ramona, and Sonia are meeting up at like a bar.
They're going to 75th and Main, which makes me think that that was like Ramona's favorite spot, because I feel like Ramona and Bethany and Sonia went there like in a previous season.
Maybe. I mean, there aren't that many places in the Hamptons, and probably not that many that let them like film either.
That's true.
Yeah. But I thought it was funny because Heather's like, I don't know why she invited me. I thought Ramona and I didn't get along.
Yeah, she was very surprised.
But then while they're there, Heather brings up the, oh yeah, my dad died last week again.
Yep.
And I get it. It's again, just like.
Ramona's knee-jerk reaction is, wow, you got a lot of issues.
I mean, honestly, that's probably what I'd be thinking in my head, because she starts talking about cancer. She's telling them about issues with her son. I think she talked about.
Oh no, that was.
Oh, so, the blind.
Yeah,
the blind.
So she goes, Mona, do you know my best friend? She's in the wine business. And like without missing a beat or taking a breath, she's like, she's blind. She had her pancreas removed, her kidney transplant. And I like it. We shouldn't. Like those are very traumatizing things. But the way that she said it, I died laughing. I was just like, damn, girl.
I think I remember now why I liked Heather, and it's because she is like me, but she's like an amplified, even worse word vomit of a person. Like I can talk more than most people I know, like I could filibuster on like 30 different topics probably for like 7 hours and not stop talking. But she beats me, Heather. But that's what I remember. I think I like a relatability of like some, I think part of it is my guess. Filming is new. I wonder if it comes from nervousness of like, I got to fill the air, because we do often forget about that. And it was actually, I was just watching the Love is Blind reunion. Mm-hmm. Did you watch Love is Blind this season?
No, but I found out that a coworker of mine knew like everybody who was on this season.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So
I'll
anyway,
tell you
so
offline about that.
Yeah. One of the guys, the guy was terrible and I didn't like him at all, but he says one of the reasons he was super awkward is all of a sudden there was all these cameras and people in the room and he couldn't like get past that. And not enough people give credit to the fact of how awkward it can be and jarring when you're first filming, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
There's, cause it's not just one cameraman. It's like three cameramen, producers. There's like eight people. Like whenever you see that, it's a lot of people there. So I could see how it could be nerve wracking and, oh, I want to make good TV. You know, all those things are probably running through her head. So part of me gives her a little bit of nerves in the beginning.
We also find out at this meetup that Sonia is going to be doing something at the Learning Annex too. She's going to be doing 20 minutes on red carpet ready toaster oven meals. And I was like, what? Like, I have a lot of questions. I follow up. Like, but that was all she said. Red carpet ready. I'm going to do something about being red carpet ready and toaster oven meals. And I was like, are those two things? Are they the same thing? Is it getting ready in 20 minutes for the red carpet while making toaster oven meals? I don't know. But it was wild. And then we go to a party at Ramona's house, which they show her Hamptons house. And damn, that thing is beautiful.
I know. It really
is. It's mammoth. It is huge. It has a giant pool. Like, it looks so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And Sonia's making appetizers for the party.
Oh my gosh. Oh, also, I was trying to figure out the season. It must be like fall, I think.
Yeah, they usually filmed around the fall.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ramona's trying to set Sonia up with this guy, Michael. And Sonia forgets who he was, but she's like, I'm sure he'll be hot after I have some wine. And then we find out as Aviva's arriving, she tells us they're not ready to commit to a house in the Hamptons. But from May through November, they rent one. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, that must be so fucking expensive.
Oh my God, I know.
May through November? You're taking over a whole house for the entire summer. Whoever's house that is, they're charging you thousands.
Oh my God, thousands, crazy.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah. It's also the first time the Berkshires is ever brought up because yes. Heather talks about how she has a house in the Berkshires and it's just like warm, fuzzy feeling for the Berkshires when it comes to New York.
I mean, you know, I love the Berkshires.
Of course.
Heather also comes in and they were like, what do you want to drink? Do you want vodka? Do you want white wine? And she was like, oh, do you have scotch? And he's like, oh, you drink scotch. And he's like, we don't have that. We have tequila or gin. And she's like, no, I had a bad experience with gin.
In college, mind you, she said, I had a bad experience with gin in college. And I feel like everyone has that.
You all have, yeah. Jägermeister.
That's funny. Vodka.
Oh, wow. That's a tough one because that's in a lot of things.
The only vodka drink I drink is a Bloody Mary.
Mm.
And maybe like a really good mixed one, like a strawberry lemonade vodka type thing. But I typically steer clear of vodka.
Fair. It's a creeper. We find out, though, that tequila is the only alcohol that's not a downer, which I don't know if I totally believe.
I think I've heard that before. I feel like when I've toured like a tequila factory or something, they talk about that.
But like, she's like going on and on about it. And Ramona's like, Jesus Christ, just take the shot already, which I do think I would be kind of similar about it. Like, we're just drinking.
I know. I just am so kind of like, she was on another level in this like episode, Heather.
For sure. Let's see. Oh, so she's talking about the Berkshires, like you said, and Mario tries to tell a story about when he first met Ramona's parents in Rhinebeck. And Heather cuts him off. like, it's impossible. Like, everything that, like, he's just trying to tell the story. And he's like, so this and, like, that. And, like, literally every time he finishes a sentence, Heather jumps in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and maybe doesn't even finish a sentence. And so, like, they get into tangents. And finally, Ramona's like, honey, you cut people off, you know? And Heather's like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, but, like, I thought the same thing about you. And so Ramona keeps trying to explain. And Heather's just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's funny because it's two people that are not listening to each other having a conversation together.
Yeah. The Heather thing with the cutting it with, I get that sometimes, because if someone is telling a really long, slow story, it takes effort for me to sit there quietly and continue to listen. Like, I literally have to, like, be like, don't start speaking
yet. Don't start speaking.
Like, I understand that. So especially if it was like people I didn't really know, it might even be hard. Like, again, I wonder the nervous tick thing. But
I just felt so like, this is the only time that you will hear me be like, Mario is very much right. Like,
but he was right. She was completely cutting him off. Yeah.
And like, I honestly, I feel like it was also because I was like, I want to hear what it was like to meet Ramona's parents. Like, that is a story that I need. And I was just kind of like, and it, like, I do understand what you're saying. Like, people who are very long-winded and have to tell you every detail of a story when they were like, was it November 2nd or 3rd? It was definitely 10:45 in the morning. You're like, bitch, none of this matters.
It literally kills what my happened? Soul on the inside to have to listen to that sometimes.
So, yeah, I hear you on that, but I just felt like
I'm not correct. One time
where I was like, come on, just tell me how what it was like to meet Ramona Singer's parents.
Mm-hmm.
So Aviva comes over and Heather starts talking to Aviva about Ramona, saying that she's not listening. And Aviva says that Ramona's intimidating. And then Sonia is making her meatballs. She says they're turning out yellow.
I think I missed that line. It's
so funny.
And then they sit down for their meal that they're having, and Heather has to sit next to Mario, which is hilarious because they just have this like very awkward thing.
Can I back up for 1 second?
Yeah.
Because there's 1 second where Aviva, so Heather's telling their story and she's like, yeah, like there's tragic things. Some kids have no legs, which came out of nowhere. But Aviva's just like, oh, what a wonderful door you opened. I have an artificial leg. And like Heather just, this is where Heather's in the other seat and she's just like, OMG. OMG. So Heather and Mario end up sitting next to each other at the dinner table. I didn't like the writing on the place cards. As someone that was my job growing up when we had family, like big holiday dinners with like the whole family, I was the person that would write out the place cards. And like, I went to calligraphy classes. Like, I really took it seriously.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is chicken scratch.
That's too funny.
You call this a place card. So those are the things that I get offended by.
You want to know the thing I got offended by?
Yes.
When they're sitting at the dinner and someone brings up the word beshert.
Yes, tell me about it.
Okay, so that word is literally like used in Jewish wedding ceremonies. Like, you are my beshert, you are my soulmate.
Okay.
I don't know what this man was that brought this word to this table to say, like, because even Heather was like, that's incorrect. Like, that is, someone basically, I don't remember who said it, some random guy was saying like, oh, this meal is like, we're a beshert, like it's meant to be.
I thought it was like a toast or something. Like, I think,
no,
we're all beshert.
Yeah, he says that. And Heather, who married a Jewish person, is like, definitely not the right use of this term. And I was like, no, I literally, like, my beshert is like my soulmate, my one true love. Like,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure we said it during my wedding. Like, yeah, a person's soulmate, especially like coming. Yeah. Yeah. It's your person. So it did not work in this scenario when they said it.
It did come after they were talking about how Reed got married to, like, how he proposed to Aviva. So I think they were trying to connect it to that, but it was like they were like, we're all beshert tonight. And it was like, no, that's wrong.
Yeah, just like that Heather knew that that was wrong.
But yeah, it was actually interesting. They met, they were both divorced. They both had kids. They were at Bed Bath & Beyond, and their children ended up playing together. And that's how they ended up meeting, which is a great meet cute. I'm here for it.
Very, very cute. One fine day.
Adorable. So then we go to Victoria's art show.
I have nothing to say about this art show. Like, I just wrote Lou's daughter's doing an art exhibit.
I thought it was nice that all the ladies came to support it. The art is kind of dark, and it's funny because, like, somebody's like, so you got a dark side, and, like, Victoria's, like, wicked defensive about it. She's just like, everyone has a dark side. What? And it's like, meanwhile, like, the photos are, like, not Hampton's art, is what I'll say. Like, it's fine, it's cool, but it's, like, you know, naked women and dark figures screaming kind of thing. And it was like, I get where this, like, older gentleman is kind of like, wow, this is dark shit. Aviva's very kind and is like, I will totally buy one. Reed, which one?
Yeah.
That
was it at the art exhibit, because then we go back to New York City.
Yes. And this is where the tea happens.
This is the final scene. And it's Carol, Heather, and Luann?
Yeah. So it's first, it's Heather and Aviva are downloading Lou on the party.
No, Carol was definitely there too.
Carol first. Yeah, Carol was there first, because the whole premise of the lunch is Carol's like, I couldn't be in the Hamptons. The whole reason I was in the Hamptons is because I was trying to finish my book. But a girl's got to eat. So when everybody's back in the city, I get all the information.
Mm-hmm.
So first it's Aviva and Carol and then Heather, or maybe
Aviva
then
shows up like after Lou leaves.
Okay. So yeah, so it's Heather. They're downloading them about the party, and Lou wasn't invited to Ramona's. Oh, and so they're talking about at the party, we skipped this part where Sonia says, my husband.
Oh, yes.
And Ramona very loudly corrects her and says, your ex. And Sonia's just like, well, you know, I'm never going to get married again, so he's my husband. And Ramona is not having any of it and is just like, he's your ex. Remember that. Like, I get where she might be coming from, but man, it was real rough. And it was like, Heather was like, that was a fucked up thing to do to your friend, your supposed best friend.
Yeah.
And Lou tells us that, like, Sonia was supposed to show up to the art thing, but, like, Ramona controls her. Same narrative as last season. But then, so Lou comes in real hot and is like, I had the most disturbing call from Ramona. And so, did you find it weird the way that she started the conversation about, like, so she's like, so there was this party at my house. Like, yes. The party story doesn't totally make sense with what Ramona's saying, I guess. I feel like, basically, Ramona calls Lou and is like, hey, girl, I'm going to tell all your shit about your kid if you don't fucking back off me. And so Lou is getting ahead of it and being like, here's the shit on my kid. I had a party for my daughter. They come in and tell me that somebody's passed out in the bushes. I had to call an ambulance because I couldn't revive the child right away. And the
I think it was for Noel because they were 15.
Oh, okay. So it was even younger.
And listen, this to me, I'm not going to say anything about Lou because this stuff happens.
It happens all the time. And my it doesn't have anything to do with the parent that's hosting the party.
Exactly. My cousin, who has, like, amazing, very involved, my aunt and uncle are incredible people. At her 16th party, they went to see Blue Man Group. And some of her friends, like, snuck alcohol. One girl got so wasted. They had to take her to the hospital and pump her stomach.
Yeah.
And I don't even think my cousin drank, and it had nothing to do. It was just like these girls decided to do that.
I mean, it's just like, listen, was there alcohol there? Was there not? I don't know. But I don't think Lou was serving 15-year-olds alcohol. Like, she just doesn't seem like that kind of person. I feel like, would she let her kids drink with her? Possibly, but I don't think that she was doing that for 15-year-olds. It sounds like a very scary story. Mm-hmm. And for Ramona to hold that over her was tough.
Yeah.
Lou's just trying to protect her kids and, like, doesn't want her kids to have a bad reputation. But it was really funny because, like, she tells this story and then just, like, jumps up and leaves. And Carol was like, that was, like, a drive-by trauma. Like,
it really was. That? Yeah. It was strange.
Yeah, then Heather talks about her feelings about Mario and Ramona, and she's like, Mario barely meets me, talks to me for 2 seconds, and says I interrupt him. And I was like, but you did. Like, you interrupted that story. Like,
yeah,
it was. And so then Aviva's just like, there, well, let's not be mean girls. Let's not talk about them. And I was just like, oh, let's wait for that.
No, this season is gearing up to be good. The drama was great from the beginning. I'm obsessed with all the new ladies because we know some crazy stuff that goes on with them. And
it just felt like a good mix. It really did. Like, it just, there was the right amount of crazy to uncrazy. But before we finish, I have to ask you, Roni season finale, did you watch it?
I didn't watch it yet. I'm so sorry. No, I didn't get to watch it yet. I know.
I need to talk about it.
I'm so sorry. I haven't watched it yet. I'm like one or two episodes behind.
No, Danielle. What are you, raising a human or something?
No, I was watching the Giants game on Sunday.
All right. That's a horrible excuse.
And actually, my viewing has gone down because I'm working now. I was watching a lot more TV when I was on maternity leave.
Stop being a responsible adult, goddamn you.
I mean, it's fine. I watched this episode when I was at work, so.
What I will say is, and like, I don't think I'm spoiling anything, because like pretty much everyone on the internet is like, Cy and Aaron are horrible and Jessel has won this season.
Oh, I love Jessel. So yes,
I think that Jessel is perfect. I think, listen, a lot of people are like, let's not get rid of Cy and Jessel and Aaron. We need them to be foils, but I'm interested to see what you think after these next two episodes, because I don't like Sai's negative energy.
I like Aaron more than I like Cy.
I like, listen, do I want to hang out with Aaron? God, no. Do I think Aaron's going to stir shit up constantly? Yeah.
Yeah.
We need somebody who's like that. Like, you know, for better or for worse, that's what Rinna was. I just think that Rinna started going too far because she was in a dark place.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what's going on with Cy, but like, Cy is somebody who, like, just everything is always everyone's, not, no one's pain is worse than hers, and everybody is a jerk except for her.
Yeah, no, Aaron, there's like a lack more of
self-awareness that's like, you know, you kind of want your, like, you want a Shannon Bedore who doesn't totally see themselves and doesn't have a self-awareness. Maybe Shannon's not a great one because of all the trouble that she's been going through lately.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I mean? Like, being like, there is something great in a housewife that's not totally self-aware, but Cy just seems to really lack an understanding of like people. And her husband is also like a little too old school for me.
Agree. I did not like when he was like, Uba, why aren't you married?
Yeah.
Did not like that. That's such a gross question to ask anyone, man or woman.
I feel like Cy is somebody who lashes out, and it's not like even in like a, you know, bad girls club crazy kind of way, which I also don't want for my housewives. It's just, she's just constantly mean, and I don't love it. I think that there's a lot of interesting stories in Cy's life, but I don't want them if she's not going to listen to anybody else's or accept.
No, I agree.
Like, it's a give and take. Like, the whole thing with Jessel being like, my uncle is also an alcoholic, and her just being like, it's not the same. And I'm like, well, you both lived with alcoholics. She wasn't like, oh, you know what's funny? We had the exact same experience. You know?
Yeah, she's just trying to relate.
Yeah, everyone's like, Jessel didn't share anything. I'm like, are you kidding me? She talked about her IVF journey. She's talked about, you know, her career journey. Like, just because she was like, oh, Pavitt's going to Vietnam in a couple of weeks, and like 3 weeks later he hadn't gone, they're like,
I know, the way they're obsessed with that is so weird. I'm like, what do you care? And like, insinuating Pavitt was doing something scandalous. Like, Pavitt is absolutely adorable, and the sandwich, like, president of New York, like, I really like him.
I also just think it's none of your business. Like, why are you pointing at somebody's marriage that you just met?
Yeah, it's like, weird.
What's going on in your marriage? And your husbands are all like, yeah, I would leave if you didn't fuck me for a year. Like, that's problematic, and that's something that I would give you more shit about.
Agree. Fully agree. So I'm sorry that I did not watch. I will have watched by next week, I promise.
I still love you, and still keep going along on season 5, and I'm just so happy to have you back, and I'm excited to start a new season. And thank you, everybody, for listening to all of this madness. We appreciate you.
And yeah, we are back for season 5, and we are so excited, and we love you.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.